Welcome back in to the David L. Gray Show, voicing truth and reason. You know the deal is, I got a wonderful show for you today. I think you're really going to get something out of it. Hope you do. But before we get started, make sure you please hit that like, that notification bell, that sub, that share, all that good stuff. And if you're listening to the audio podcast and you're on iTunes, please leave me a good review. I appreciate it. Shout out to all the sponsors whose names are scrolling below. If you'd like to become a sponsor on the show, there's two ways to do it. One, you can do it by becoming a YouTube member on the YouTube platform. If you do that, then you have access to all the video archives. I have about approaching 200 videos. That's just for members only. I've been on YouTube since about 2010. Since 2010, I'm making a lot of content. So only thing that you see visible on my channel now is recent content and content that's like in high demand. So other than that, it's for members only. So you can do that. Also, by going to Patreon, patreon.com/David L. Gray. Here is the image right here. Now, the Patreon membership, Hounds of Heaven, if you become a member of my Patreon, then you get membership, lifetime membership at St. Dominic's Media, which gives you access to all the courses that we teach there. Also, all of our books that's in digital format. You get view those there. And so really just everything we do, get you access to that. Also, the audio version of all of our books. So that's patreon.com/David L. Gray. But I appreciate you for keeping me in all your prayers and things like that, because I'm in deep need of prayer. I love the feedback that I got yesterday for the video short that I put up with Father Hell No. And I've been wanting to introduce you all to Father Hell No for a long time. I finally got a chance to. So, yeah, the video became really popular, like really fast, and a lot of good feedback. I'm glad you guys laughed. You know, always enjoy the comedy skits I've been able to do for you over the years. So I'm going to keep introducing you to Father Hell No. We got a lot of skits to put out. So yeah, I appreciate the support. Got Admathoria in here. She says, good mother. Good morning, David. Father Hell No. How's it heaven? She said, I feel so sorry for Father Hell No's former Eucharistic ministers. Yeah, I think they'll be fine, right? I think they'll find another job in the church. So I don't think we have to worry about them too much. There's plenty to do in Jesus Christ at Sin No More Church in Fort Myers, Florida. Who else we got here? Amanda Schoenfield. And hey, Amanda, welcome into the show. But listen, we're at about the 3-minute mark. So let's go ahead and get into this show. All right. This is the David L. Gray Show, voicing truth and reason. Let's go.
Covering, you know, the skies of a post-Christian society, we have spotted a man with a donut in one hand and rosary beads in another.
Child, I'm about to whoop Satan's behind.
He is boldly proclaiming truth and reason like no rigid Catholic ever has before. The David L. Gray Show begins now.
Is the David L. Gray Show, voicing truth and reason. We are live streaming on YouTube, on the fake book, on LinkedIn, on Twitter. We're going to have backup copies of the show on Rumble and on Odyssey.com. So this show is about Ben Shapiro, which I believe that he's using Bishop Barron, who they call each other friends, right? Bishop Barron's been on his platform, I think, about twice. And so it's not helping Catholicism. Every time Bishop Barron goes on Ben Shapiro's platform on Daily Wire, he's just using Ben Shapiro, allowing Ben Shapiro use him to promote the heresy of indifferentism, to promote the heresy of indifferentism. He's allowing Ben Shapiro to use him to promote that through the Jews' context. And he's also allowing Ben Shapiro to use him to promote violence against Christians in Jerusalem. Now, I'm going to get into that. We're going to comment on the most recent time, the most recent interview that Bishop Barron appeared on Daily Wire, which is, I think, is last week. We're going to comment on that. But first, I want to really set the whole thing up for you and put this in context of what I'm trying to say. Before I get there, a lot of you guys, last show, I think, I saw my Resist Secularism shirt. I think I had Resist something else, but I have a lot of these Resist shirts. My friend Joffrey, he has a website called resistforgod.com. That is resist, the number four, God.com. He has a lot of this gear you can check out there. And he's a good supporter of the show, so please check him out. But so, listen to this. So I don't know if you know this, but there has been a huge uptick in violence against Christians in Jerusalem this year. There's been at least five cases of vandalism or violence by Jews against Christians and their property in Jerusalem since the beginning of 2023. So, as I said, this is a sharp increase versus other years. Like in 2020, for the whole year, there were like 213 incidents. In 2021, there were 9. So this year, just so far, we have 5. And they're pretty nasty. Some attacks have included destroying crosses and tombs in a Protestant cemetery, vandalizing a Maronite cultural center, and spitting on and assaulting Christian worshipers at an evangelical event at the Western Wall. Now, so why is this happening? I'm going to give you a few reasons why it is. But one reason that some people are contextualizing why this happens is that some leaders, some Christian leaders, what they're doing is they're blaming the current Israeli government for encouraging and supporting an ultra-nationalist policy that targets non-Jews and those who do not share the religion. The World Council of Churches has condemned the attacks and urged the international community to respect the rights of all people in the Holy Land. And let me give you some examples of what they're talking about. Here's one example. Let me make it larger for you. So this article is from Al Jazeera. It's from April of this year. And this article is dealing with like a summary of the issue. There were death to Christian chants. And again, they're commenting that violence steps up under new Israeli government. So this is how they're contextualizing some of it, that this is, they're blaming the violence on Jewish nationalism that's going on in how the government is operating there in Jerusalem now. And in this article, you can see some of its highlights. It says hostility by fundamentalist Jews towards Jerusalem's Christian community is not new. And it's not just the Armenian Christians who suffer from it. Priests of all denominations been describing this spat for years. Since 2005, Christian celebrations around Holy Week, particular Holy Fire Saturday, have brought military barricades and harsh treatment from soldiers and settlers alike. Let me show you another article. This one from the Hearts publication. Anti-Christian hate crimes in Jerusalem soaring this year. So they're talking about 2023. Vandalism and assaults target Christians and Christian institutions in Jerusalem have risen sharply since the beginning of this year. So that echoes what we've been saying. And let me show you another one before I give you my thoughts on why this is happening. And let me just show you just a summary of a lot of news events over the year. I'll just give you a good idea of what's going on. We see a lot of headlines here. From 5 days ago, World Council of Churches expresses concern over attacks of Christians in Jerusalem. Again, Jerusalem Christians attribute rise in violence to Israel's new government. Israel hate crimes against Christian and occupy Jerusalem rising. Israeli failing to stop attacks on Christians in Jerusalem. And that's a really good article, because in that article, it deals with that the fact that Christians in Jerusalem are not protected at all. I think the population has decreased sharply over since 2005. Christians are moving out of Jerusalem to find safer places. When there is an attack on Christians in Jerusalem, the police really dismiss it. They don't investigate it. Or they say that the person is just suffering from mental illness. So the government is giving a huge advantage to people who persecute Christians in Jerusalem. As I said, they don't investigate it. They dismiss it very lightly. And they just really don't take it serious. So why is this really happening? So we know the common answer, right? That it has something to do with the new government. But as we saw, this has been going on for quite a while. In fact, I would argue that it's been going on for 2,000 years. Judaism, as far as when I say the Jews or the Judaism, I'm really talking about Jews who are faithful practitioners of the religion. I'm not talking about cultural Jews or anything like that. I'm talking about Orthodox or Jews who believe what Judaism is trying to teach. And I think within that segment of people, they've been persecuting Christians for 2,000 years. It began with Christ Jesus, and it continues today, and it happens really for the same reason. That the problem with Judaism, the reason why Jews have to be hostile, have to be violent against Christians, is because Christianity and Judaism both cannot be true. Either the Messiah did come or he did not. Now, imagine living in a world today where you are a Jew. You're being told that the Messiah has not come. Yet everyone in the world, you have billions of people in the world telling you that the Messiah did come, that your religion is false, that it's been fulfilled in Christ Jesus. And they have to deal with the fact that every Easter, Christians are saying that the Jews killed the Messiah. So this has been going on for 2,000 years. And so just unnaturally, I think the Jew in his heart is also always hostile against Christianity, because they have to be, because the world is telling you that they live a lie, that you're living a lie. So they have to kill Christ in their heart, in their hearts. And sometimes that does manifest in violence. It did 2,000 years ago, killing Jesus, and it still manifests today, destroying statues, vandalizing churches, spitting on Christians. And what I'm going to argue coming up is that what Ben Shapiro is using Bishop Barron to do is to incite that violence through words, okay? And as I said, I do think it's difficult to be a Jewish practitioner. And it has been for the last 2,000 years. Because in your heart, you have to recognize that, no, you do not have temple worship anymore. You do not have a high priesthood. You do not have any of the elements that was given to the Jews from Moses when he came down from the mount. You don't have any of that. So in your heart of hearts, you do recognize that your religion is false. You do recognize that your religion is failed, and that there may be something about Christianity. So yes, I think the spirit of hatred and violence against Christianity by Jews is natural. This idea of false ecumenism that we see, that these are our Jewish brothers and sisters, I think that's really, it really doesn't get to the fact of how the Jews feel. Okay, they cannot feel that way towards us. They can't. Because again, Christianity and Judaism both cannot be true. Either the Messiah did come or he did not. Okay. So ultimately, I think that's why the violence happens. And so the second reason why the violence happens is that I just think there is just a spirit. So that, I think that we would call that just the spirit of just Jewish hatred, right? just the spirit of Jewish people being antichrist in essence. Now, the second reason why that thing happens is because there's a spirit of why this violence against Christians happens in Jerusalem. It's because Jerusalem has been really being caught up of what's going on across the world, that there's just a spirit of hatred towards all life. And the reason why there's why is that? Why is there a spirit of hatred towards all life? Because we've been telling people for decades that the most basic, the fundamental human right that there is the right to life. That's the most basic and fundamental right. That's everything. That's the right that we're all entitled to, the right to life. But for nearly half a century or more in some places, we've been telling people that, well, not all people have that right to life. There are some people who we can kill based sometimes depending upon what they did, or also depending upon what they did not do. For example, the child in the womb. So we've been telling people for over half a century that the most defenseless among us, the most vulnerable among us, that they do not have a right to life. So what's happened in the spirit of hatred towards all life throughout the world is that people have really begun to believe that. It's become culture, it's become deeply ingrained into society. So because the most defenseless and the most vulnerable among us do not have a right to life, we've done the math. And the math is 1 + 1 = 2. That if the most defenseless and vulnerable among us do not have a right to life, then therefore no one has a right to life. If I can kill a child in the womb, I can kill anyone else. And so this is why we see just an increase of violence and hatred towards life throughout the world. And then there's a spirit of lawlessness that we see increasing around the world as well. And this is the math as well, that if the most basic and fundamental human right, that's the right to life, if the right to life does not exist, then no other right exists as well, such as the right to personal property or right to access to just basic fundamental things. For example, speaking about just the vandalism, the increase in vandalism that we see in Jerusalem, but we see this in the United States as well. We would say we've saw a sharp uptick in this around 2016 and 17 and 18 with the so-called Black Lives Matter riots. We saw throughout the country people just destroying property, stealing, theft, just ransacking Walmart and Target or everywhere else, you know, shopping centers and malls. And we didn't see any persecution happen. We see what's going on in New York, in Chicago. We see that people who are just doing this smash and grab, it's not even smash and grab anymore. It's just walk in, grab some stuff, walk out. We see that these people are not persecuted by the law. We see that when these people do get caught by the police, that they get booked and they're let go. We see that when people in a store want to call police to report theft, that those people are fired from their job. So there's just been an increase in the spirit of lawlessness. There's no respect of the law. And again, this is because there's no respect for the rights of life. So all other laws, every other rights under the right to life, which is the first and fundamental, all of those fall. They really just fall like dominoes. So we have the spirit of just Jewish hatred. It's just natural. It's been going on for 2,000 years. We had a spirit of hatred towards all life, and we see the spirit of lawlessness. So that's how I would really just contextualize what's going on, why it's going on. So now we get to Ben Shapiro and how I see that he uses Bishop Barron to promote this violence towards Christians by promoting indifferentism. So let me get into that now. Before I get there, let me get to some of your comments. Let me see if some of the things that you've said about this. Jeremiah Jones, it'd be nice if Bishop Barron would remind Ben Shapiro that Judaism is a dead religion. Yeah, like I said, once Jesus died on the cross, he fulfilled all prophecies in Judaism, thus ending and starting Christianity. Yeah, and we're going to see in these talks, in these interviews, that Bishop Barron never says that. And it's scary how and he never gets to that point. And I have a huge problem with Bishop Barron in this regard, that he'll go and talk to anyone. He'll talk to Jews. He'll talk to atheists. He'll talk to Protestants. But when it comes to speaking to like just traditional Catholics who really believe our faith, he never comes and speaks with us. He doesn't. He never comes to hear our critique of him. I'm sure he's aware of it. I don't think he's living in a closet. But it's interesting in his approach towards ecumenism. He never includes dialogue with those who are of the traditional Catholic faith. So I have a big problem with Bishop Barron because of this. In fact, when I had my radio show over on Guadalupe Radio Network, there was one time when there was someone on the staff. I won't say their name because they were operating in good faith because they wanted to come on my radio show and talk about something. I forget what it was. I think it was just like a benign topic. And as far as Word on Fire should have been concerned, it wasn't anything about Word on Fire. It was just I want to talk about some theology with this theologian. And so he went back and he asked the handlers or his superiors over at Word on Fire, "Hey, you mind if I go on a David L. Gray show to speak about something I've been working on?" And I think it was something about Ratzinger or something like that. I want to say, yeah, Bishop Pope Benedict the 16th. And so Word on Fire said no, told him no, you cannot go on a David L. Gray show on Guadalupe Radio Network, which I think is a largely mainstream radio network. It wasn't my podcast here or anything like that. It was on my radio show. And they told him no. So Word on Fire and Bishop Barron, they have a big problem, not only with Barron talking to people who are traditional Catholics, but anyone on Word on Fire, his whole operation over there, dialoguing with traditional Catholics. So I have a big problem with the way they operate as Catholics. And the thing is, Bishop Barron is overrated. Now, I think he's a great evangelist. I think, and I would say he's a great evangelist in the sense that how he communicates the Catholic faith in his productions. Like, I think the Catholicism series, I think that was largely timeless. It's good for what it's good for. It is. It's a good introduction to the Catholic faith, right? And I think we should appreciate him for the things he's done in that regard. But there are some other areas I think we can critique him on very strongly. And I just did one. Present one. Yeah. And the thing is, I think he's more interested in impressing non-Catholics. I think he is. I think that's true. All right, so let's get into the whole Ben Shapiro thing. Now, you may remember this interview from some time ago, maybe a few years ago. This is when Bishop Barron, he goes on the Daily Wire with Ben Shapiro. And Ben Shapiro, he asked him the question, you know, am I going to hell? So, and remember the show I did a little while ago with about Timothy Gordon and Dr. Taylor Marshall going on Jason Whitlock's show? and how they did not hear the buying signs, how they're just like horrible salespeople. Jason Whitlock was asking him, you know, what's exceptional about Catholicism? He's basically saying, tell me why I should be a Catholic. And Timothy Gordon wanted to talk about Aquinas. Dr. Taylor Marshall wanted to talk about his book. Right? They never got to the question, and so I think they failed. Notice how Bishop Barron does the same thing. Ben Shapiro is going to ask him a question. Am I going to hell as a Jew? And watch how Bishop Barron handles the question. So I have a huge problem, not with the answer that Bishop Barron gave. The big problem I have in this interview is that he did not even answer the question. So check it out.
Yeah.
I don't really care about this question particularly much, but I get this question a lot, which is, you know, as a Jew, how does it feel that there are other religions that don't think of getting into heaven? So let me ask you, what's the Catholic view on who gets into heaven and who doesn't? I feel like I lead a pretty good life, a very religiously based life in which I try to keep not just the Ten Commandments, but a solid 603 other commandments as well. And I spend an awful lot of my time promulgating what I would consider to be Judeo-Christian virtues, particularly in Western societies. So what's the Catholic view of me? Am I basically screwed here?
No.
So Ben Shapiro, he's essentially the person who we read about in Scripture. You know, a Jew comes to Jesus and says, I've obeyed the law. I've done this and this and that. You know, what else do I need to do? And Jesus says, sell all your possessions and come and follow me. That's what he says. He says exactly, he tells Jesus exactly what Ben Shapiro did. I'm a good Jew. I obey the law. I'm a good person. I have all the acts. I do this and this and this. Am I going to hell? And so the buying sign that you want to hear here, that you hear, is Ben Shapiro is asking a Catholic bishop, hey, what's so special about Catholicism? What's so special about Catholicism? And Ben Shapiro knows who he's dealing with. There's a reason why he didn't have Cardinal Raymond Burke on here. There's a reason why he didn't have a number of different bishops on the show. He knows who Bishop Barron is. He knows he's a softie. He knows he's going to justify him in his sin of rejecting Jesus Christ. And so that's one thing that's going on. Now, what you're going to hear in Bishop Barron's answer, notice how he never answers Ben Shapiro. Ben Shapiro asked him a direct question. He said, am I screwed? Basically, he said, am I going to hell? The answer that Bishop Barron is going to give, he doesn't speak to the question. Ben Shapiro just asks a personal question. Am I going to hell? The answer that Bishop Barron gives is just a general answer. He points back to Vatican II. You know, he gives a general answer which applies to, you know, just generally all people without personal introspection or a personal evaluation of one's life. That's not the question. Ben Shapiro asked him about himself. Am I going to hell? He says, I've done this and this is. I'm a good Jew. Here's my actions. Am I going to hell? What's so special about Catholicism? And this is Bishop Barron's answer.
The Catholic view, go back to the Second Vatican Council, says it very clearly. I mean, Christ is the privileged route to salvation. I mean, God so loved the world, he gave his only son that we might find eternal life. So that's the privileged route. However, Vatican II clearly teaches that someone outside the explicit Christian faith can be saved.
Someone outside of Christianity can be saved. That's church teaching. And it's church teaching because in as much as we believe that there's no salvation outside of church, we also recognize the fact that the book of Revelation says that salvation belongs to God and the Lamb of God. And we do recognize the rare case that a person can have just no knowledge whatsoever of who Jesus is. That's still possible in 2023. Yet, even though they have not been evangelized, they haven't even heard of Jesus Christ or the truth about him, that they're still living their life according to their conscience. And the church does say, okay, well, salvation belongs to God and Lamb of God. God can make that determination upon that person's heart. Fine. That's a good general answer. That wasn't a question. Ben Shapiro does have full knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. He has been evangelized. He does know Jesus. He knows what the church teaches. Ben Shapiro willfully and intentionally denies Jesus Christ. He rejects him as Messiah. He rejects him as Lord. He rejects him as the second person of the Holy Trinity God. Ben Shapiro does that intentionally and with full knowledge. So Ben Shapiro is not the person that Vatican II is talking about. Vatican II is talking about people who operating in good faith, following their conscience. The conscience of Ben Shapiro is dead. He rejects Christ. So the right answer to Ben Shapiro, when he says, am I screwed? The answer is yes. Yes, you're completely screwed. You're going to hell. If you don't follow Jesus Christ, if you don't repent. So Bishop Barron, in this case, he should have just manned up. He should have Christed up and said, yes, you're completely screwed in. But let me tell you the answer. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. A personal question demanded a personal answer. So this is the first instance when Ben Shapiro started this attack on Christianity, that there's nothing, especially in Catholicism in particular, saying there's really nothing special about it. If I'm not screwed, and he knew Bishop Barron was going to answer the question this way. And so he wants to present to the world that Jews are not screwed. And more so that there's nothing exceptional about Catholicism. Catholicism believes that we all can go to heaven. There's nothing exceptional about Catholicism. And because there's nothing exceptional about Catholicism, you're free to attack it. You're free to persecute it. Ben Shapiro wears a yarmulke on his head. He's an influential person in a Jewish community. And here he is telling all the Jews in the entire world, yeah, there's nothing special about this religion. And because there's nothing special about it, because there's nothing exceptional about it, yeah, go ahead and attack it. Open season on the Christians. Nathan says he wasn't willing to embrace the opportunity. Yeah, we see this time and time again with Catholics speaking to people who are not Catholics on large platforms and walking away like a dog with a tail between legs for whatever reason. Whenever we get the opportunity to address the world and tell them why Catholicism is exceptional, why it's special, why is the only religion in an entire world where Jesus Christ comes as a real person in flesh and blood, in soul and divinity at every mass, every day in the world, except Good Friday? We just don't want to tell the truth about Catholicism. That's why it's special. That's why it's exceptional. In the entire universe, Christ has chosen the Catholic Church and the Catholic Mass to visit. You want to see Jesus Christ? Just go to Mass. The priest will lift him up for you. You can eat God and become like God. That doesn't happen anywhere else in the world except with the Catholics and the Orthodox. Catholicism is so exceptional. It is so special. There's nothing like it. God has chosen his church to visit every day throughout the world. I mean, the thing is, he could at least said, Ben, there's a way to improve your chances. Then he could have shown Ben Shapiro the SBS directory. Now, that'd make a good podcast. So recently, Bishop Barron went on the Ben Shapiro show again to promote some book that he's written about the Holy Eucharist in conjunction with the Eucharistic revival that's going on in the United States. Here's the first clip.
The state of Catholicism right now. So Catholicism seems to be experiencing something similar to what Judaism is experiencing.
Listen to what's going on here. Really listen to Ben Shapiro's words. Listen to what he's saying, the way he prefaced his comment. He started off with indifferentism. He started off with there's nothing exceptional about Catholicism. He started off the interview with Catholicism is just like every other religion. This is Freemasonry. This is the same thing Freemasonry teaches. It's teaching us Constitution, Anderson's Constitution from 1723. Then our religions are just the same. There's really nothing exceptional about them. They're just personal opinions. They're all just right here on the same level. They're all just a bunch of ideas. There's nothing different. And so this is how Ben Shapiro starts. He says, what's going on with Catholicism, it's the same thing we see in the rest of the world. There's nothing unique about Catholicism.
Talk about the state of Catholicism right now. So Catholicism seems to be experiencing something similar to what Judaism is experiencing, what Protestantism is experiencing, which is the abstraction of the actual religion into nothingness by a large percentage of its supposed adherents. It's really a major problem inside sort of mainstream religions that many of the people who purport to be members of the faith are overtly sort of dissociating from core elements of the faith and then abstracting them into sort of meaningless phraseology.
No, quite right. And, you know, if I put my philosopher's hat on for a second, go right back to Immanuel Kant in the 18th.
Bishop Barrett, he just wants to be the smartest guy in the room, right? I mean, we saw this again. Like I said, we saw with on the Jason Whitlock show with Timothy Gordon, right? Just the smartest guy in the room. And he wants to show it. And again, the smartest guy in the room, he never reads the room. He never really listens to what's going on. He's just more in showing off his intellect, showing off his acumen, showing off his vocabulary, how much he's read, right? So Bishop Barron, there's a million things to get said here. Yeah, Catholicism, Catholicism is just going through the same stuff everybody else is. Nothing exceptional about it. And so Bishop Barrett says, let's talk about Immanuel Kant. Smartest guy in the room.
Century.
You know, one of the things that I think has happened here, Bishop, and it really is an amazing thing, is that a lot of religious people have come down on the wrong side of what we call the erythro problem.
I mean, this is just so hilarious. It's just like the interview starts off just completely pointless. Bishop Barron wants to talk about Kant. You know, in this interview, they go back and forth about Immanuel Kant. Ben Shapiro's talking about some erythro problem. you know, and good for Ben reading up before the interview. Right? Reading up before the interview. They have a conversation about some core philosophical principles. All right. Here's the next clip. More indifferentism. And because it's promoting indifferentism, that there's nothing exceptional about Catholicism, Catholicism is free to destroy. It's free to wage violence and war against in Jerusalem. Jews in Jerusalem, keep up the good work. There's nothing special about this thing.
Bishop, this is something that's sort of amazing to think about, is how many of our assumptions about sort of Kantian philosophy are rooted in the fumes of religion. You know, when you read Locke, you have to understand that Locke is speaking against a backdrop of a religious society that believes in Judeo-Christian principles. When you read Kant, you have to understand that what he's trying to do is he's actually trying to backfill Christian morality into a secular world. What he's attempting to do. But the problem is that once the fumes run out, once the religion goes away, everything becomes incredibly subjective very quickly. And so all of those arguments tend to devolve into exactly the sort of subjectivism you're talking about. And that brings us back to what you're talking about in your new book, This Is My Body, A Call to Eucharistic Revival. Now, obviously, Judaism doesn't have anything that is directly parallel to the Eucharist. But
all right, so here's where the interview really starts to get very interesting. And where Ben Shapiro really starts to hit his stride in promoting indifferentism and violence against Catholicism. All right. Because for the Russia interview, they're kind of, you know, they talked about Kant, they talked about Locke. And now Ben Shapiro, now that he's set up, Ben Shapiro is sitting here playing chess. He's playing chess against Bishop Barron, and he's like five moves ahead. He's setting this whole thing up, and he's a master. Let's give it to Ben Shapiro. Good job. And he's really just walking a dog. And so now that he set it up in this interview, that there's really nothing exceptional about Catholicism. Now he's about to bring it home. Let's talk about your book, Bishop Barron, he says. You know, Eucharistic revival, whatever it's called. And then he starts saying, he said, there's really nothing in Judaism that we can compare the Eucharist to, right? We don't have anything similar to it. And so what Ben is setting up here, again, is these are just really two competing ideas, right? And you know Bishop Barron is not going to hit him over the head about this and tell him that the reason why there is a Holy Eucharist is because Judaism is a failed religion. That the reason why you do not have a sacrifice is because Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins in the world. The reason why you do not have a temple and a sacrifice is because Christ is the high priest and he sacrificed his life for all of us. And he's fulfilled your Passover, your Seder in himself. He is the Lamb. He is the blood. And it's through him to have eternal life. And the whole reason why we have a Holy Eucharist is because Judaism is a failed religion. All right. He never hits him over the head with that, right? But listen to what he does.
It does have the idea that you must involve yourself in rituals, rituals that are seemingly bizarre.
And that's what Ben Shapiro wants to reduce this whole thing, just a ritual. All right, this is just a fraternity ritual. There's not really a deeper truth to it. It's not necessary. Again, it's just, it's indifferentism. It's sacralism. It's just ritual. We all have it, Bishop.
Ritual you don't fully understand, because that is a recognition that there is a law that is above you that is not coming out of the center of your own head, that is not subject to your own sort of personal interpretation of the situation.
No, quite right. And I'll go back to your opening comment about Kant, because you're right.
Das ist das in German. Like, what is this? Ben Shapiro gives him another buying sign. He says, tell me I'm wrong. I dare you. Make the connection to Judaism and the Holy Eucharist. And Bishop Barron says, let's go back to Locke. I'm more interested in Locke. Let's talk about that. It's one of the most ridiculous things you've seen in your entire life.
Integral.
Let's watch this other clip.
Ancient Gnosticism drove body and soul apart. So the body was less important.
So now he seems, I don't know what's going on in Catholicism right now with this whole body thing, right? Because we heard Timothy Gordon talking about this on a Jason Whitlock show, that this body soul type of thing, this embodied soul, disembodiment. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what I'm missing in theological circles. Maybe I'm not paying close enough attention, but there seems to be some sort of conversation going on right now that I'm not aware of, that everybody wants to talk about the body and the soul. I don't know what's trending right now, but apparently something's trendy. And Bishop Barron wants to talk about it here as well.
soul was all important. Escaping from the body and its restrictions was a desideratum. Well, that's revived in modernity too. Look at it in Descartes. Look in the dualism of Kant, etc. And the privileging of the interior over the exterior, the spiritual over the bodily. And I think that's rampant today. And think of all the transgender ideology where the real me is buried deep down in there somewhere. And the body is just there for me to ignore, manipulate, change, intervene, surgery upon, etc. Well, see, all that's repugnant to a clear sense of creation. And that we're made body and soul in the image and likeness of God. That I'm an integral unit. I'm not a soul hiding or trapped in a body. And that comes through a ritual consciousness. Because the rituals are not just psychic events or interior events. They involve the body. My parents, when I was a little kid, bringing me into church, say, okay, now you genuflect before you enter the pew. Because there's the tabernacle that contains the body of Jesus. That's something in my body, you know, still in my body. I was taught that ritual gesture. When you eschew ritual, the body gets marginalized. And when the body gets marginalized, religion becomes a very abstract endeavor. And then eventually it'll fade away. There's the cut flowers thing. When my interior, my mind is cut off from my body, I fall apart. So that's, I would go from Gnosticism to the modern philosophers to a lot of what you see today in the public conversation.
Well, again, the book is...
You know, I mean, Bishop Barron gives us long-winded answer about body and the transgenderism issue, you know, the problem with ritual. You know, Bishop Barron hears all this. He's like, yeah. This guy is... I'm about to checkmate this guy. He's fallen into every trap that I've put forward thus far.
The Eucharist or the meaning of, so in Judaism, now the Eucharist obviously is connected to sort of Judaic roots in terms of sacrifice system in Hebrew of Korbanot. Why don't you talk about what exactly the Eucharist is, people don't understand it from the Catholic perspective.
Look at maybe two.
This is like an awesome buying sign. Here's Ben Shapiro. He's asking the sales guy, hey, I know, you know, you came to my house with this wonderful vacuum. You gave me a demonstration. Basically, in Bishop Barron's case, you wrote the book. Here's a wonderful demonstration about why this vacuum is so special. You told me everything that it does, you know, how it cleans and suction power, all its accessories. But Bishop, tell me, what's different than your vacuum versus one I could go to Walmart and get? Tell me. I'm listening.
And both very much grounded in Judaism, is the Lord God wants to feed his people with his own life. So, you know, eat from all the trees in the garden except one. We put such stress on the one prohibition, we often overlook the great permission. You know, eat from all the trees. Think of the Passover meal. Think of the manna coming from heaven. In all these ways that the Lord wants to feed his people. How central to Jesus was this theme. Think of his open table fellowship, the scholars call it, that he was open to, you know, saints and sinners and tax collectors and prostitutes and to come to the table. And it was, in our understanding, that's the God of Israel inviting his people to a meal. And then, of course, his life comes to a climax at the Last Supper. Take this and eat. This is my body. Take this and drink. This is my blood. And, of course, that's temple language. That's sacrificial language. The body offered for you, blood poured out for you, linking it thereby to the cross, which we see as the culmination of the temple worship of Israel. So the God of Israel given a perfect worship on the cross. Think even of the blood and water flowing from the side of Jesus. We've, I think, probably largely lost the sense of that, but no first century Jew would have missed water coming from the side of Jesus. Well, that's Ezekiel's prophecy that when the temple is restored, water would come from its side. For the renewal of the world. Those are all Eucharistic themes for us, of the meal, of the sacrifice, the life-giving quality of the God of Israel, and we're invited to eat and drink this reality. That's the Eucharist. I wrote that book because...
I like Bishop Barron's answer. I just don't like it in the context of this chess game. If you're playing chess, you know, chess has, I think, over, what is it, 7 million different games you can play. Is it 7, maybe 7 billion of different variations. And so, get good chess, the game of chess, you just have to play a lot of games. You know, when I was really into playing chess, I would try to play at least 10 games a day. And I did that for maybe like 2 years. Because it's just repetition. You have to see multiple games. You just have to play multiple games. That's all chess is. People with higher intellectual capacity, spatial capacity, understanding spaces, can play fewer games and understand a game faster than others, right? But everyone has to play the game of chess, and you have to play multiple games to see different variations of the game. That's all chess is. If you have a good memory, you'll be good at chess. If you understand space, use space, you can understand the game of chess faster than others. So in chess, there's no such thing as a bad move. There's no people who tell you, oh, that's a bad move. No, there's no such thing in chess as a bad move. It's impossible. Every move is a good move, but every move in chess does not belong to the right game. You understand what I'm saying? So if I move my bishop to, I don't know, e7, that's a wonderful move. It always is. It's a great move. But depending upon a game I'm playing, in that variation of being over 7 million games, bishop e7 could be bad. It could be not so bad. It could be great, not so great. It just depends upon the game. But the move itself isn't bad. It depends what game you're playing. Bishop Barron, in regards to his answer, he made it's a wonderful answer. Wonderful move. Wrong game. Completely wrong game. In that variation of over 7 million games, this was not the game to make that move. It wasn't. He moved his bishop to e7. Oh, he is a bishop. He went to e7. Shouldn't have went there. He should have went to e2. Huh? So, because we didn't see was that Ben Shapiro is playing, it's all about indifferentism. It's all about proving Catholicism is not exceptional. He started off this whole line of inquiry about the Holy Eucharist is just ritual. So Bishop Barron's move was to explain how, no, Catholicism isn't just any ritual. It's the ritual. It is the most unique ritual, and here's why. And this is how this ritual destroyed Catholicism. I mean, destroyed Judaism. This is why Judaism is irrelevant, because of the liturgy, the liturgical ritual that brings us up to this point, and what the priest is doing in repeating the words of Christ at consecration. That's the ritual. And because that ritual is true, Judaism isn't.
There's a Eucharistic revival going on. The American bishops called for this because a loss of the sense of the meaning of the Eucharist. And see, I think here you and I find such common ground, because when you divorce the Eucharist from its very deep Jewish roots, that's when you start to misunderstand it as simply a vague symbol, or it's a symbol of our coming together as a family. And, you know, fine. But the deepest reality is in the Jewish roots of Catholicism. How wonderful, too, you know, the Eucharist surrounded.
Again, wonderful move. Wrong game. He says, oh, you know, you can't disconnect the Eucharist from Judaism and its Judaic roots. Yeah, but that's not what Ben is really asking. Right? Yeah, the Eucharist does have Jewish roots, but in a sense, it's a whole new tree, right? So both things are true. It has Judaic roots, but it's also a whole new tree. Right? So there's a tree that withered and died, right? And a new tree came, right? Now this new tree is the tree of life. It's a tree that we did not have access to. Now we have access to it. The Eucharist is that tree of life in a garden that we were forbidden from eating, right? So it has Judaic roots, but this is a whole new tree. Let me tell you about it.
By altar, by priesthood, by sacrifice, by incense and candles, you know, and all the kind of accoutrement of temple worship, where the Protestant tradition tended to eschew much of that. The Catholic tradition.
Yeah. A lot of indifferentism here. I'm really not hearing anything exceptional about Catholicism. There's really not a reason to treat it as special, not to persecute it as a Jew.
The Eucharist, or the meaning of, so in Judaism, and the Eucharist obviously is connected to sort of Judaic roots in terms of sacrifice, the system in Hebrew of Korbanot. Why don't you talk about what exactly the Eucharist is for people who don't understand it from the Catholic perspective?
Look at maybe two sides, and both very much grounded in Judaism.
And that's the same clip. So that's really just that is the summary of what I wanted to get at. That Bishop Barron just has to stop going on to the Ben Shapiro show. He just has to stop. He's not helping Catholicism by going on Ben Shapiro. And he's allowing Ben Shapiro to use him to water down Catholicism. Ben Shapiro's a Jew. In his heart, he's hostile towards Christianity. He has to be. He's a Jew. He's a practicing Jew. So in his heart, he has to be hostile towards Christianity, because Christianity and Judaism both cannot be true. You cannot live in a world where your wife is both faithful and a whore. She's either a whore or she's faithful. They both can't not be true. So Ben Shapiro has to be hostile to Christianity. And so Bishop Barron has to understand this is the context he enters into when he goes on the Ben Shapiro show. This is a hostile witness, as every faithful Jew is when it comes to Christianity. This is in a courtroom, this is a hostile witness. And you have to treat these people as hostile. And you can't go in speaking about Kant and Locke and all these philosophical principles and Descartes. Wrong game. Wrong chess game. Bishop Barron can come on this podcast and speak about those things. Sure. Let's talk about Descartes. Let's talk about Kant. And let's talk about Locke. I'm not a hostile audience. I'm not a Jew who's trying to prove that Catholicism is just one of many different ideas. And so, Bishop Barron, we plead with you. Stop speaking to the secular world and throwing, because all you're doing is hurting us, and you're hurting Christians in Jerusalem by giving a Jew an opportunity to explain why his homeboys back home in Jerusalem should destroy statues and spit on Christians. This is the David L. Gray Show, voicing truth and reason. Let me get to your comments before I head out of here. I thought this was a funny comment by Nathaniel. You know, my chess analogy. And that thing was like, oh yeah, Bishop's problem, he can only move diagonally. That is hilarious. What else we got here? The thing that says, I stopped watching Bishop Barron after I stopped going to Novus Ordo. I also stopped pretending to see things from any kind of traditional Orthodox perspective. I think I don't think that, and I talked about this, I think I talked about this with Patrick Coffin on his Hope is Fuel, my talk I did on there, that, you know, Bishop Barron, there was a lot of people like this in Catholic Church, I think, who play the straight guy, right? They're just straight down the middle. Father Mike Schmidt, I think he's a straight guy. He's like straight down the middle. You know, conservatives like him, liberals like him, right? Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, right? Everyone, you know, he can speak at any conference. Bishop Barron, I don't think we think about him like that anymore. I think there was a time when we did. And I think he plays it well. He tries. You know, recently he came in strong on a whole L.A. Dodgers thing about their whole Lima Golf Bravo Tango event, celebrating these nuns who were blasphemous. You know, he tried to come in strong on that. You know, so he tries to play both sides. But yeah, I don't think we look at Barron as you know, the straight guy anymore. Michelle says, Shapiro's opinion on Jesus on Rogan's show was Jesus was a common criminal trying to go against Romans and crucified for his troubles. Yeah. And people don't notice about Ben Shapiro. Ben Shapiro, again, like any faithful Jew, is in his heart, is an enemy of Christ. He has to be. Because if Christ is true, then you're destroyed. You're going to hell unless you convert. And oftentimes, Ben Shapiro, at least once, twice a year, his anti-Catholicism, his anti-Christ, the anti-Christ in his heart, it comes out. It does. Iron Dog said, I used to know Bishop Barron, total Bernardin Chicago sellout. Yeah, he studied at Mundelein, right? And I think he was a rector there for a while at Mundelein, which is one of the gayest seminaries in the whole United States, right? Father Howman was on my show a while ago, and he was talking about, he went to Mundelein. He was just talking about how gay it was and how people just walk around with boyfriends and girlfriends up there. This is Chicago, Archdiocese of Chicago, their seminary. It's a gay, it's probably the gayest seminary that's not associated with the Jesuits, right? So, yeah. And so when somebody says, oh, Barron is just a Chicago guy at the heart. Yeah. Bruce says, I love your chess analogy. Explains so much. Yeah. Yeah, there's no bad move in chess. No bad move at all. But your move may not belong to the right game. There's never a bad chess move. Just the wrong game for that chess move. My friend Brianna says, the problem with Bishop Barron is he doesn't want to hurt anyone's feelings. The truth is the truth. It doesn't care about your feelings, and he is failing. Yeah. Yeah. Bishop Barron is one of those people call a nice guy. Yeah, he's a nice guy. Let's have him over for dinner. You know, he does well in mixed company. He's the smartest guy in the room. Doesn't hurt anyone's feelings. Yeah, I think Brandon is 100% right. I think you need some people like that in life, maybe. Everyone can't walk around with a St. Anthony's hammer. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe we need people like that. Just people like that shouldn't go on like a Ben Shapiro show where you have a hostile audience. A St. Anthony needs to go on a Ben Shapiro show. Raymond Cardinal Burke needs to go on the Ben Shapiro show. He says, a low point for Barron was saying that Elijah was fired as a prophet. I think I remember that. Amathura says, nice guys finish last. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's the case, especially with probably women under 32. Right? Right? I remember that. That used to be like a guy rule. Don't be nice. Yeah, they do. The thing that says, a priest said, nice doesn't mean you care. Wow. Jesse says, nice is nowhere found in the Bible. Yeah, show me a nice prophet. All right. And that's another thing I want to mention about, like, I think the Jewish hostility towards Catholicism and Christianity altogether. The Jews haven't had a prophet visit them in over 2,000 years. They haven't had no new book added to the Talmud. They haven't had a prophet in 2,000 years. They haven't had a sacrifice at a temple in 2,000 years. I really don't understand being a Jew. I'd rather be like a Mormon than a Jew. At least Mormons don't know. Right? A Mormon may suspect, this thing is kind of weird, guys. But a Jew just has to know. Like, it's been 2,000 years. 2,000 years since you had a high priesthood. That's a long time. That's weird. All right, let me get out of here. I'm in overtime. We're way past an hour. So I appreciate all you guys for coming. Thanks for coming into the show, the Monday show. I appreciate you. I don't know what the rest of the week looks like. I know I have an interview with someone on Thursday, but I think I'm gonna do a preview cord. And so I'm gonna have that show up Friday. So other than that, I really don't know what's going on this week. So I will have the reflection for the meeting readings at Mass up probably Thursday, maybe Wednesday. That's going to be up. I think Father, hell no. I think he's going to be back on Sunday because I think something happened at Jesus Christ Said Sin No More Church where he had to cancel the Lima Golf Bravo Tango Outreach Committee. And I think there were some issues with that. So I think we have a clip from a homily he did at the parish where he had to explain why he had to shut down that outreach committee. So I think we're going to have that up on Sunday. So other than that, peace out, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, blessings and shalom to you and to yours. And I will see you on the next time.